Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. We have been speaking about things that the Holy Spirit will do for you. And last week we started a new subject, what the Holy Spirit will do in you. And today is a part two. As Christians, we are fortunate. We are really fortunate. Many think that God is a passive person. Maybe he will be merciful, maybe he will not. Many think to please God, we have to do so many good things, good works, maybe then God will be merciful to me. They think they can buy the grace of God. For us, it's God's grace that he lives in us, mm-hmm. through the Holy Spirit. He is not here because of some things that we have done. He is here because of his grace. Today we look at one part of this sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Bible text is from John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Amen. Here we see that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, the spirit of reality. Everything in this world is only a shadow. It's a spirit of reality who helps us to know what is real. In the Amplified Translation it says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, nor know him, nor recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. This is what Jesus said. From the scripture of the Amplified Version shows us six synonyms for the word translated comforter from its Greek expression allos parakletos. The word another in the first place, translated from the Greek allos, is very instructive. You see, the Greek language used two words which in English is commonly translated as another. These two words are heteros and allos. Heteros means another of a different kind, while allos meant another of the same kind. In referring to the Holy Spirit, Jesus called him allos, another one of the same kind, thus inferring that the Holy Spirit is exactly like him. So the Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus. He looks like him. He loves like him. He cares like him. And he talks like him. This is the Holy Spirit sent by the Father to be with us. All seven words, comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, are rendered from the Greek parakletos, help us to show thus the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he becomes your lawyer, your helper, your intercessor. You know you can have an intercessor who's praying for you somewhere remote or in the background. But what kind of intercessor is the Holy Spirit? He is not a kind of intercessor that is somewhere in this world or in the background. He's right here in you, with us and in us. The Amplified Bible gives us another word to support this. It says he is the advocate and standby. This means he is a kind of intercessor that stands ready as our advocate or counsel of defense. Jesus was talking about someone who engages our adversaries. Someone who steps right into the middle of the heat and takes charge for us. Not someone watching from somewhere in far away. He also says the Holy Spirit is a strengthener. So while he's talking, taking his own steps to ensure everything works out for our best, he also makes sure that we are participating by strengthening us, for he can function only through us. When you have the Holy Spirit, weakness will not be part of your life. No wonder Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, when he had been bruised and battered and broken down by external factors, he was made even stronger by the power of the Holy Spirit. The last word the Amplified Bible uses to describe the Holy Spirit is standby. He is our standby. Think of it this way. In many companies and homes in different countries, they have a standby generator. When there is a power outage from the main power supply, the standby generator is switched on and power is supplied, and businesses and activities can continue as before. That is what the Holy Spirit does for you. When you run out of strength, out of information and ideas, options and everything else you know, there's a standby. And he never fails. Our lives should always be full of joy and excitement. We've got a helper, a comforter, an intercessor, an advocate, a counselor, a strengthener, and a standby. How could we lose? It is impossible that we lose. The trouble with a lot of Christians is that they are not informed of things like this. And many do not know how to operate in the realm of the Spirit. We're not a group of people seeking help from God. We have been given a helper. We're not alone. We have Christ. We have one called alongside us to help us. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he's been called to go along with us. You'll be wrong to look at born-again believers, spirit-filled people, and think that what you see is what is. Make no mistake about it. There's someone who is not only with us, he is in us, praise God. You may not see him with the optical eyes, but he's right here. In fact, he's more present than our adversaries. The psalmist calls him a very present help in trouble, in Psalm 41, 46. When he said a very present help, he wasn't saying there was some other way of help apart from him. He wants us to know by attaching the very to the present help, that he is referring to definite article. He could simply have said he's a present help in trouble. But instead of just saying that, he strengthened it by saying he's a very present help. In other words, it's something you should not doubt at all. You don't have to look for him. He's a very present help in trouble. You don't have to ask him to come. He's already here. This means if you ever get into trouble, you might bluff and say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, I'm not alone. Whatever trouble I am in, I'm not alone." The first thing the Holy Spirit will do in your life when he comes to dwell in you is give you understanding. This understanding helps you to receive the message of Jesus Christ. It helps you receive the Word of God in your spirit. Then you won't be like people who ask, "How can you say that God raised Jesus from the dead?" You no longer ask this kind of questions because you just understand. You simply believe Jesus was born of a virgin, and he was raised from the dead because the Holy Spirit has helped us to understand it. In John 15, verse 26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit testifies of the Lord Jesus and helps you to easily believe the gospel. He gives you an understanding mind. In John 20:22, the Bible tells us that after his resurrection, Jesus stood before his disciples. He blew on them. When he did that, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." After he had said that, he opened their understanding. That's exactly what happened when he blew on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them and opened their understanding so that they could receive the Word of God and understand it. In Job 32, verse 8, in the Amplified Version, it says, "But there is a vital force and a spirit for intelligence in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding." When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he gives you understanding so you are no longer in the dark about the Word of God. Every time you hear the Word of God, or when you study the Bible, you will understand. Because the Holy Spirit has given you this understanding. Not only do you understand the Word of God, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you have that understanding mind and understanding heart. Do you remember the prayer of Solomon when God appeared to him and he became king of Israel? The Bible says that God spoke to him in a dream and asked Solomon, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Solomon answered and said, "Oh God, give me wisdom and an understanding heart. Give me wisdom and an understanding heart." You see, he asked God for wisdom and understanding. Now, in the new covenant, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you automatically receive this understanding. The Holy Spirit is a secret of understanding. Praise God. It's so sad that many don't know who is the Holy Spirit or what he does within them. If more Christians would know the world would change. The churches wouldn't be empty. The church is a place where you learn about the secret things of God. You learn what He wants to do within you. The church is a place where God appears to you. You learn what He wants you to do. You learn what He wants to do within you. When you are born again, you don't join a club. You become a member of a family of God. In every family, each one has a responsibility to fulfill. It's the same in God's family. If you are not fulfilling that task, that responsibility, you are not a real member, you're a parasite. Therefore, we must be open to the Holy Spirit so that we understand who we are and what we are to do. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our teacher. And He will give us the understanding, He will give us the knowledge. To live a successful life as a Christian, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to have the presence of God within our lives. And God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. There are those who reject the Holy Spirit, and there are those who grieve the Holy Spirit. The longer you reject and grieve Him, the more difficult your life will get. There are cases where the Holy Spirit has left people who once were devout followers of Jesus because they constantly rejected and grieved Him. Therefore, it is important that we are part of a church where the truth about the Holy Spirit is being taught. Praise the Lord. May God bless you. May the Holy Spirit fill your life and give you that understanding and that knowledge.